Hello, Church. My name is Jason Wong. I'm actually recording this message from Singapore, Katong area. So I'm a Singaporean. And last year, when I was in KL, around September, I met your senior pastor and he heard what I shared with a group of pastors of the city and felt that it is a message that he'd like me to bring to the church. So I was supposed to travel up to KL, but because of COVID-19, I have to do this message pre-recorded for you. Maybe a bit of background about myself. Many years ago, I went to Australia to study. Before that, of course, I said a prayer. I told God, I didn't know God at the time. I said, God, if you put me on earth, what do you want me to do? And a few months later, I said, God, can you please give me a scholarship? So that was my second prayer. And God answered my prayer, gave me a scholarship. I went to Perth, Australia to study. And it was there in my first year that I became a Christian. And I joined the Overseas Christian Fellowship. And the first year, I became a Christian. Second year, I became the Assistant Bible Study Leader. The third year, I was in the Exco Committee. And the fourth year, I became the President. You know, that was the fastest promotion ever that I've experienced. And of course, before I left Perth, Australia, I handed the presidency role to Ji Ching, Brother Ji Ching. And Brother Ji Ching is from your church. So I've known him for over 30 years. I came here from Singapore and, of course, being bonded with the government, I served my bond and I went to the prisons to serve my bond. I was there for 17 years, of course, as a prison officer, not as a prisoner. And it was there that I discovered the heart of God, the Father for the last, the lost, the least. And God began to show me the importance of families, the importance of fathers. And I remember there was a time when 25 years ago, you know, my daughter was only 3 years old and I was carrying her and I was praying for her one night. And suddenly God spoke to me and said, why are you praying for your child? Pray for children without fathers. And of course, the silly me, you know, I asked God the question, where are they? And God said, well, the fathers are all in prisons. I want you to pray for children without fathers, to pray for them. And, you know, God just took over my lungs, took over my mouth and I just started to wail and to pray for these children who are in their own homes and fatherless and no one to pray for them, no fathers to love them. And I remember that was the first time I encountered God in such a special way where he spoke to me about fatherlessness. And after 17 years in the prisons, I was transferred to the Ministry of Social and Family Development. So from downstream, I went upstream and I thought I'm going to do family work. I'm going to do a marriage and parenting work. But instead, I was given the portfolio where I look after all the children's homes in Singapore, family violence, child abuse. I even know of cases of children in coma, beaten up so badly, they're in coma in hospital. And I began to press in and say, God, why do you allow me to see all these things? You know, Singapore is supposed to be a first world nation, but we have so many brokenness within the homes. We have beautiful houses, but broken homes. Materially, we are getting richer, but relationally, we are getting poorer. So when God allowed me to see this, I began to press in and say, God, you know, if you allow me to see it, that means you see it every day. So what do you want me to do? And within 3 months, I heard that there was a group of Christians from Singapore going to Jerusalem, Israel for a conference. It's called the All Nations Convocation, where Christians from 100 over nations will gather. And Singapore, one of the pastors, Pastor George Anadorai, I'm not sure whether you know of him, he actually led a group of us, 120 of us to be exact, from different churches. I didn't know many of these Christian brothers and sisters, but we went on this trip. And of course, why did I wanted to go? And that's because I thought in Singapore, I'm so busy, you know, I have a huge portfolio. I have 400 or 500 staff under me and all the children's homes, the boys' home, the girls' home, the youth at risk, the homeless people were under my charge. And I just needed to go away. And I thought maybe Jerusalem, God's headquarters, so I will be nearer to God and to know what is on his heart. You know, the Bible says if we seek him with all our hearts, he will be found. And when he is found, he will reveal plans for us to give us hope, to give us future, to prosper us, not to harm us. And that was what I did. I really sought him with all my heart to understand why he allowed me to see all these families and all these fatherless children. And of course, when I was there, I caught up with a couple of my former prison colleagues. In fact, one of them was a pastor working in the Prison Fellowship of Singapore. So at the hotel, I remember at the level 3 of the hotel, I shared with them about what I was seeing over the last 3 months when I was in the new government department. And they said, Jason, why don't we pray for you? You know, because I have new bosses, new minister, new colleagues, a new portfolio. And as they laid hands on me, this was at level 3 of the hotel. We were seated on the sofa at one corner. And when they laid hands on me, I started to tremble. I started to shake. You know, I actually went into a trance. Now, I've never been in a trance before. Never before, never since. And of course, I've come to realize that there's a difference between the dream, a vision, and a trance. Because a dream is when you are sleeping and you see moving pictures. A vision is when you're awake, you see moving pictures, but you can still move around, you can still walk around. Whereas in a trance, you are awake, you see moving pictures, but you cannot move. You are stuck in one place because of the hand of God, because of the glory of God. And that was what I felt. I couldn't sit on the sofa chair. I went on my knees. I started trembling and shaking, and I was tearing. And I remember I was lifted up, and it's like God was just next to me, looking down. I saw the nations. I saw Singapore. I saw Malaysia. I saw Indonesia. I saw China. I saw India. I saw the whole of Asia and beyond. And God was allowing me to see the nations. And I saw God's hand raised up into the heavens, wanting to come down to take or to claim or to bless the nations. And I remember hearing God say, whatever you see in heaven, you do on earth. Whatever you see in the spiritual, you do in the physical. And I remember I wanted to raise up my hands, you know, and that was when I saw the hand of God came down. It hit the nations, and there was a ripple that went out. Now, this was in 2007 when I went to Jerusalem for this conference and had this encounter. And if you remember, 2004, there was a tsunami in October. Now, I was involved not in the tsunami, but I actually went to Malabo in Indonesia to help out in some crisis relief work. And so when I saw the ripple that went out, you know, it was like a tsunami that went out from Singapore, Malaysia, and into the nations, rippling out. And then I heard God say, no, not a tsunami, but a sound wave. And immediately I heard a roar of a lion, a huge roar that created a sound wave that shook the whole of Asia, rippling out from Singapore, Malaysia, going to the nations. And immediately the next thing I saw was I saw Jesus desperately grabbing children. And I heard what came up from his mouth was, let the children come to me. Let the children come to me. He was just grabbing children as if the children were in bondage, and he was trying to bring them to safety. And I was doing that in the physical, because what I saw in the spiritual, I did in the physical. So I started grabbing children. No, I was on my knees, shaking, trembling, tearing, and I was doing that. And I remember there was a moment where I felt that the evil was coming to take them back into bondage. And immediately I said, God, please, please protect them. Please protect them. And then for the first time, I saw a child through God's eyes. And the only two words I could say, the only two words that keep coming up from my mouth was so precious, so precious, so precious, because what I saw was future. I saw destiny, and God spoke to me that every child he brought into the world, God has a destiny for the child. God has a purpose, and God has a plan for the child. You know, when I received that, I actually broke down and I wept and I repented, because even as a parent, even as a father of two children at the time, sometimes I fail to see my children as having destiny and calling and purpose. You know, as parents, especially in Singapore, we only see them as whether you get good results, you get an A, or you get a grade 1 or a grade 5. You know, we see our children as if they are exam marks. Their value is in the marks that they get. But God sees us as precious, having destiny, having a calling, having a purpose. So I realized that as parents, we are supposed to call out their destiny, to speak life into our children. And I also saw Jesus blessing the children, blessing the children. You know, as Jesus said in the Bible, let the children come to me, and he blessed them. But in the vision, it was a desperate cry of Jesus grabbing the children. And after this encounter, I was like, wow, you know. And I came back to Singapore. I started to influence whatever I could, you know, to save children, to protect children, because children are precious. And I started to look at legislation. I started to look at the Children and Young Persons Act. How can we tighten it to protect children? I started to look at my policies, my programs. I started to ask for resources, more child protection officers to help the children who are abused. But after about 6-7 months, I felt that everything I could do, I could think of, I have thought of it, and it was to be implemented. But I felt that there was something missing. It's like there was a part two to the vision that I didn't receive. So I began to press in. You know, I said, God, what is the root? What is the key? And then I heard that there was a group of Christians from different churches, this time led by the same pastor, to Kiev, Ukraine for another conference. You know why? Because one of the speakers in the Jerusalem conference was from Kiev, Ukraine. He is probably one of the largest, if not the largest church in Eastern Europe. And he invited the Singapore delegation to visit his church. Now, of course, I wasn't there to see the largest church in the Eastern Europe, but I was there to seek the Lord because I felt I just needed to go on another pilgrimage, on another trip to just seek the Lord with all my heart for part two of the revelation. And when I was there, to cut a long story short, it was in the conference hall. There were 5,000 people and there were a number of overseas delegates in Singapore. We have 70 of us. And I remember we were just worshiping during the worship session. And I began to see pieces of jigsaw puzzle. I saw family violence. I saw child abuse. I saw juvenile delinquency. I saw teenage pregnancy. I said, God, I'm doing more here. I'm doing more here. I can do more here. God, I will do more here. What else is there? What is the key? What is the root? And as I began to press in, all the words disappeared and one word was left. And the word was fathers. Fathers. And immediately I was reminded of the conference that I went to in Jerusalem a few months before. Because the theme of that conference was releasing the Joshua generation. No, so if you look at this slide, it's a DVD. It shows the front and the back of a DVD. And the front is releasing the Joshua generation. And at the back, it says, turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And it was a sub-theme, you know, because this DVD was a recorded message and I just bought a few of these DVDs. But nobody was preaching on the sub-theme of turning hearts of fathers to the children, turning hearts of children to the fathers. Everyone, every speaker, whether from Israel or from overseas, they were just preaching on releasing the Joshua generation, the next generation. But when I saw the word fathers a few months later in Kiev, in this church, I began to realize that, wow, there is something in the sub-theme about turning hearts of fathers to the children. So I pressed in, I said, God, so you are going to turn hearts of fathers to the children to reverse the curse. You know why? Because a lot of hearts of fathers are turned away from the children. They're turned away from the children or turned against the children. But God said, turn the hearts of fathers towards the children. And we can turn the hearts of fathers towards the children, we will reverse the curses on the land. Reversing the curses on the land. And that was when I pressed and I said, God, you are going to turn the hearts of fathers to the children. And immediately I heard a voice and God said, no, not me. Go and read the Bible. And of course, I turned to my Bible in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. No, God gave me this curiosity. I began to ask God, why do you send Elijah? Why don't you send Moses? Why don't you send David? Why don't you send Paul? Why are you sending Elijah to turn hearts of fathers to the children? So out of this curiosity, I began to press in. There must be something special about Prophet Elijah that God is going to use to speak to me. And so as I press in, the understanding came. At the time, immediately, two understandings. The first was Elijah is always linked to Elisha. You know, Elijah, Elisha. What did Elisha ask for from Elijah? Double portion, isn't it? He said, God, he said, Elijah, give me double portion. When I received the understanding, I should be very happy because it's like God saying, impart double portion to the next generation. Fathers, impart double portion to your children. When I received the understanding, I actually broke down and wept. You know why? Because can you imagine the children that I work with? The fathers give them a punch, abuse them, and they look up and they say, give me double portion there. Or the fathers abandoned the children, left the family. And the children look at the father and say, give me double portion. I want to be like you. No, I will be double that. I will be worse than you. You know, a lot of children, a lot of young people do not need that kind of double portion. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if fathers, we impart the right kind of double portion to our children? Wow. You know, in 2-3 generations, double portion, double portion. When they go into the arts, they go into the media, they go into the government, they go into education, when they begin to have their own families, when they start businesses, you know, they will transform the nation in no time. In 2-3 generations, the nation can be transformed if we impart the right kind of double portion. But it is not happening because in every nation that we can see, every generation seems to be getting weaker and weaker. The morality, the decadence of a society seems to be getting worse and worse. But God seems to have a solution. in part double portion, the right kind of double portion, the anointing, the blessing. You know, Elisha did double the miracles of Elijah. So when I received this understanding, I said, God, I got it, you know. And I began to press in. I said, God, what about children without fathers? I work with a lot of children without fathers. How are they going to receive double portion? And that was when God gave me the answer. It is also found in Elijah. You know why? Because remember the time of famine? There was no food, there was no water, and with this widow and a son. You know, when Elijah was sent to this family, God told Elijah, go. And when Elijah found the widow outside the house, what was she doing? She was picking up sticks. Her plan was to go home to prepare the last meal with a bit of oil, a bit of flour. And after that, what was she planning to do? She planned to die. You know, hopelessness when there's fatherlessness. But God, in His mercy, sent Elijah to father the fatherless. And I said, God, I got it. This, whatever you are revealing to me, has to do with not just our own children, but also fathering the fatherless. It's also about spiritual fathering. In fact, this boy, who is the child of this widow, he died a physical death. But Elijah was in the house, was in the home, and Elijah went to resurrect him. You know, God was speaking to me through this, through this story that many children, many young people, many of us, we are as good as dead. Our destiny is gone. But yet God said He will send the fathers, the spiritual fathers, to father the fatherless and to resurrect our destiny, to resurrect our calling. And so with these two understanding, imparting double portion, fathering the fatherless, I said, God, what do you want me to do? I heard a voice in Kiev, in Ukraine. And God said, go back to Singapore, start a national fathers movement to turn hearts of fathers to the children so that your land will not be cursed. And immediately I got it. I came back to Singapore. Of course, one of the first things I did was to go to one of my bosses and share this with him. And I didn't tell him about the whole encounter, but because he's a Christian brother, I told him about Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And his reply was, Jason, let's do this. I will support you. And I thank God for the favor, because 18 months later now, it took 18 months. It wasn't easy because Satan, the evil one, will not want hearts of fathers to be turned towards the children. Satan will want us to turn our hearts away from our children or turn our hearts against our children to destroy the next generation, to destroy the land, to destroy the nation. But God, in His mercy, 18 months later, removing all the obstacles, and the Singapore started the National Fathers Movement. And here in Singapore, we have called it That's for Life. You know, I shared it in a church about this Fathers Movement. At the time, I didn't have the logo, I didn't have the brand. I just shared it, you know. And then at the end of the sharing, one gentleman came up to me and said, Jason, I heard you. I believe this is of God. How can I help you? How can I support you? And then I asked him, what do you do in the marketplace? And he said, I'm a managing director of a public relations company. You know, they do PR, they do branding. And he said, tell you what, Jason, I'm going to give you a branding proposal, a logo free of charge. He went back to his office, told his colleagues and said, I heard this man shared about a father's movement. Let us do it pro bono. Who wants to volunteer? A few hands raised, all were fathers. They went away. They came back a few weeks later with this logo. You know, when I first saw it, I saw the heart of father turn towards his children, and the children pointing towards their future, towards their destiny. I saw Malachi 4, 5, 6 in this logo. Of course, the original logo, there was only one child. But one of my bosses, when he saw, he said, no, Singapore, we need more children. So can you add another child inside the logo? And that was how this logo came about. I thank God that in Singapore now, we have a National Fathers Movement. And you can see from the next few slides, we organize father-child bonding activities. Look, can you imagine children growing up, seeing fathers involved in their children? It become a normal. It is the right thing to do. It's a normal thing to do for fathers to be involved, for fathers to be there with their children. Of course, we organize workshops because fathers need equipping as well. You know, our companies, our organizations send us for training to, you know, in Singapore, we have the skills future so that we can be future ready. We need to send ourselves fathers for equipping, for training, so that we can be better fathers. And of course, we launched the movement in the schools, and there are many fathers in the schools to help fathers to be more involved. And more recently, in the last few years, you know, we celebrate Father's Day in a big way. In the month of June, it's not just one day, but one whole month dedicated to celebrating Father's Day. And of course, our Malay Muslim brothers, they don't do it in June because of fasting month. They do it in September. So can you imagine 1 year in a country, there's the month of June, the month of September, celebrating Father's Day. And of course, our brothers, some Christians in Thailand, in this particular school, there are 4,000 boys and it's a mission school. So they felt that they need to get the fathers involved with the children. So they started That's For Life in Thailand, in this school. And now they're helping other schools to do it. And this is Indonesia, one of the cluster churches there. And of course, we have even Mongolia. You know, last year, together with a couple of brothers, we went to Mongolia and helped them to share this vision of a father's movement because two of the pastors came to Singapore a few years ago to do their theological studies, and they saw the father's movement here, and they felt that they needed to bring it back. And of course, it took them a few years to be ready for this. And last year, I went together with a master trainer to help them to start. And when I was there, I asked them, why do you want to start this father's movement for Mongolia? And one of them said, Jason, you heard of Genghis Khan, right? Genghis Khan. You know, no more Genghis Khan in Mongolia. What he was saying is that men used to be brave, used to be strong, but no more, no more. They are now alcoholics, they are drunkards, they are irresponsible. So for this group of fathers, young fathers who have grown up fatherless, they felt that for their generation, they're going to make a change. So they decided to start a national fathers movement for their country. And this next slide, I'm sure this is very close to your heart. On top is Miri. Two Methodist churches, GMC and AGMC, in Miri last year. They invited me, and of course, I brought a couple of people, and they were ready to start the Father's Movement there. Below is actually KL. Your senior pastor is inside, a whole group of church leaders and pastors. Now, this gathering last year in September was organized by Brother Jason Leong and Joshua Hong. You know, they are the co-founders of Better Dads Malaysia. Now, it doesn't matter whether you use Dads for Life, you use Better Dads Malaysia, or you use something else. The logo, the branding is not significant. Importantly, is a father's movement that seeks to turn the hearts of fathers to the children. So I'm so encouraged that Malaysia, you have now a father's movement right at your doorsteps. You know, God began to speak to me in the recent years. It's not just about turning hearts of fathers in the community. It is also about turning hearts of fathers to our children in the church. The church, the Christian fathers needs to rise up. And when I sought the Lord, God gave me this passage because Elijah felt he was so alone. But God said, there are 7,000 who have not bowed down to Baal. And that was when I began to gather the Christian fathers in Singapore. And about 6-7 years ago, I gathered a group of fathers, 100 churches were represented, 700 fathers came together. One of the first things we did, we actually went on our knees and repented that we have not been the fathers that God has called us to be. And then we started to form father communities, father groups in the churches, not just men's ministries, but fathering, because we want to father the young people, spiritual fathering, and more importantly, we want to be fathers to our own children. And of course, we also organize father-child bonding activities. So it's not just enough to be equipped. We need to apply what we have learned to do it together with our own children. And we even invite guests, you know, invited the pre-believers to join us. You know, some of these fathers who are pre-believers, they may never come to the church, but they will come to a futsal. And it was there that we reach out to them with the gospel. Now, this is my church now. I can talk about a national fathers movement, but ultimately I need to do it in my own church. And so together with a core group of fathers, we started our own little mini fathers movement in our church. And we had fathering workshops. Some of the fathers have been trained to be trainers. And the goal is that once we train all the fathers in our church, we're going to draw a 1 kilometer radius around the church, and all the fathers living in the residential areas, we're going to go and we're going to turn their hearts back to the children. You know, God began to show me that it's not just double portion, it's not just fathering the fatherless, but also about confronting the spiritual authorities of the land. You know, Elijah was sent to confront Ahab and Jezebel.
I would say Ahab represented the weakness of men, because it was through Ahab that the whole Jezebelic spirit and the false prophets came to the nation. You know, when man is weak, there will be negative influences that will bring into the whole nation and into our families. And God sent Elijah to confront Ahab and Jezebel. And what Elijah also did was that he went to Mount Carmel, he rebuilt the broken altars. You know, before the rain came, the fire came on Mount Carmel. Before the fire came, Elijah rebuilt the broken altars. He took one stone each, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and he rebuilt the broken altar. And that's what God wants fathers to do. How is your individual altar? How is your marriage altar? How is your family altar? You know, we gather the fathers now to pray, to rebuild our own altar, to rebuild the family altar, to rebuild the father's altar. One of the things that God showed me as we come together was, when earthly fathers pray, our heavenly father will move. When earthly fathers pray, our heavenly father will move. You know, there's a spiritual authority that's given to fathers. We are the head of the family. We are the head of the household. There is a spiritual authority. It's like saying police has an authority. If the policeman put on the uniform, the thieves and the robbers were not there to come near. And if fathers, we put on the spiritual uniform, we put on our spiritual authority as the head of the household, Satan cannot come to steal, to kill, to destroy. You know, Satan wants to destroy our children's destiny, wants to steal away their calling, wants to destroy the next generation. And fathers, spiritual fathers, we have a role to play, to be the protector, not just of our children, but of the marriage, of our families, of the next generation. So I bless you. I bless you, fathers. I pray that you will rise up. Something will stir within you. DUMC. DUMC, may you be a model church. May something come out from DUMC. May a father's movement come out from DUMC. May the hearts of fathers turn towards their children, turn towards their marriage, turn towards their spouse, so that the land will not be cursed. I pray that something will ripple out. The roar of a lion will come out, a roar of a lion's wave will come out from DOMC into the whole nation of Malaysia, starting where you are. I bless you. I pray for you. And I want to also pray for those of you, even as I was sharing, there is this pain in your heart, because you begin to say that my father wasn't there. My father wasn't the kind of father that Jason, Brother Jason, you were sharing. I never really have a father. And I believe God wants to bring healing to your heart now. You know, there was a young man that I was mentoring once. He was so angry with his own father. Each time I meet him, he will be complaining about his father. A lot of bitterness, a lot of unforgiveness. And it came to a point where I didn't know what to say anymore. So I asked the Lord, I said, God, help me, give me a word for him. And the Lord asked me to ask him a question. And so I asked him, young man, do you know how your father was fathered by his father? And immediately he stopped talking. He bowed down for a while and he looked up to me and said, Jason, I know what you're trying to tell me. I said, I'm sorry, I actually didn't know what I was trying to tell you. I just received this question from God and I just wanted to ask you. And he began to reveal to me that his father never really had a good father himself, meaning his grandfather was not there for his father. And that was when the Lord gave me the wisdom, the words of wisdom to speak to this young man. And I said, do you know that we can only give love when we have received love? We cannot give what we have not received. And if we receive pain from the previous generation, we may have no choice but to pass down some of this pain. But of course, for us as Christians, we thank God that God is our Father. Even though our own fathers did not give us enough love, we can receive love from Abba Father, because he has abundant love, abundant life. And when we can receive that love, maybe we can give some of this love to our own father. When we receive forgiveness from Father God, we can release forgiveness to our own fathers or even to our own mother. We can only give what we have received. You know, there was a time also I have another mentee. In fact, he struggled with same-sex attraction. He thought that God has abandoned him. He was in depression. And one day he was just walking aimlessly along the road. And he came to the traffic junction and he was about to cross, but a car just came so near and screeched in front of him because it was red. You know, the traffic lights had turned red. So this car screeched in front of him and he was taken by surprise. So he turned before he started crossing the road. And then he saw at the windscreen, the Dads for Life logo. You know, in Singapore, we call our Father's Movement Dads for Life, and we have distributed thousands of these car decals. And there was one of these car decals on the windscreen of this car. And he saw the Dads for Life logo, and he thought to himself as he was crossing the road, he said, ah, my mentor, Jason Wong, Dads for Life. And when he said that, he heard a voice from heaven saying to him, I will be your dad for life. I am your dad for life. You know, our Heavenly Father is our dad for life. He is our father for life. He is the father of life. So even though our earthly parents may have failed us, but God, our Father, never failed us. Even though our earthly parents' hearts have been turned away from us or turned against us, but our God, the Father, His heart is always turned towards us. And He sent Jesus to die for us, to set us free, so as to restore our calling and our destiny. So I pray for you now that those of you with a pain in your heart, wherever you are, put your right hand onto your heart and ask the Lord to remove that pain right now. And I'll ask the Lord to remove the pain. Father, in the name of Jesus, you remove the pain of loneliness, the pain of being hurt by words that was said or by actions that had been done by the parents. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Today, let there be love and let there be forgiveness that overflow from these lives. So that out of that, out of the cross, as we receive forgiveness from the cross, as we receive acceptance from the cross, as we receive love from the cross, we can release forgiveness, we can release love to our own father, to our own mother. I bless you. I bless you. May the joy of the Lord be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.